Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. This is God's word. Now, Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guards, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor with his master and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned, in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome. After some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, "Sleep with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do this immense evil, and how could I sin against God?" Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Now, one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "my husband brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could. When he heard me screaming for help, he left his garment beside me and ran outside." She put Joseph's garment beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the same story. "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make a fool of me, but when I screamed for help, he left his garment beside me and ran outside." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious and had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Sometimes, even if you do the right thing, you will suffer for it. Sometimes, even if you do the right thing, you will suffer for it. Joseph does the right thing. He didn't ask to go to Egypt. He was ambushed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, pulled out, sold to a traveling group of merchants as a slave. And when he gets down to Egypt, where they were headed, they sell him as a piece of merchandise. And he is now a slave in Egypt. Where is God? The text answers, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. God hadn't abandoned him, even though his circumstances were painful, miserable. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, when his master saw that the Lord was with him. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, because the Lord was with him. All through this, God was with him. But Joseph is a slave in Egypt. I mean, I'm miserable. I don't like this situation. I shouldn't be a slave. This is not fair. What do? You mount a defense. You work on your case. You lodge a complaint. That's not what he did. He worked hard. Whatever situation you find yourself in, distinguish yourself by hard work and honesty. Wherever you are. Well, I don't want to be here. Well, how are you going to be while you're here? Work hard. You will do better if you work hard. That is not just true today. That will be true your whole life. Wherever you are, you can make a difference. You can be different than the other people around you. You don't have to try and see what everybody else is doing and then try and do what they're doing. Joseph, working as a slave, knew that God was blessing him. It was obvious to Joseph because it was obvious to Joseph's owner. Joseph's owner could tell God's hand of blessing was on him. When his owner, Potiphar, saw that the blessing of the Lord was on him and that he was successful in everything he did, he said, I want you to be my personal assistant. Well, now you can say, look, if you like me, let me go. Or you can say, yes, sir, I think I'll do the best job I can. And that's what he did. He worked hard for Potiphar. And after working hard as Potiphar's assistant, he then got promoted even further. Potiphar says, I'm going to put him in charge of this. And then it was, I'm going to put him in charge of this. Wow, everything I put him in charge of does better with him in charge than when I was trying to run it myself. So he puts him in charge eventually of everything in the house. And it says the only decision that Potiphar had to make for himself was, what does he want to eat? Okay? Some of us would call that retirement. I mean, imagine, this guy is the captain of Pharaoh's guard. He is the big shot in the military. And he's now got Joseph running the show. That's a lot of responsibility on young Joseph. He's a young man. And God is preparing him for great things.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
But as always in any good drama, there has to be a plot twist. Something bad has to happen. This is not a made-up story. This is real life. This is history. This is what happened. Because Potiphar had a wife. Potiphar's wife decided she wanted Joseph. He was well-built, and he was good-looking. And he became an object of lust for his boss's wife. And she asked him one day, looking at him longingly, it says, she asked him, come sleep with me, and he said, no. Now, he didn't just say no. Look, he said, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house. He's put all he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. By the way, that was a message to the wife also. He didn't say, you're the only one in this house that's greater than I am. He said, I'm in charge around here. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. Okay, now let that phrase sink in. He's reminding her that she's married. You're his wife. That's why he has withheld you from me. This is not okay. And then look what he says. So how could I do this immense evil? Immense means gigantic, huge. How could I do this immense evil, and how could I sin against God? I wouldn't just be sinning against your husband. To sin against your husband would be sinning against God, because God is the one who established the rules regarding sex. I get the impression, Pastor Wood, that people have been engaged in immoral behavior for centuries, for millennia. Not just for hundreds of years, for thousands of years. People have engaged in sin all the way back to the garden when our first parents disobeyed God and ate what they'd been told they must not eat. The fact that people do the wrong thing doesn't make it the right thing. The fact that people do the wrong thing doesn't make it the right thing. And so here is another example of someone who is trying to get someone else to engage in immoral behavior. And thankfully, Joseph knew it's wrong and said no. Well, now that that's over with, not exactly. Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Do you know what happens sometimes if you say no to temptation? It comes back, and comes back, and comes back. Day after day, he has to face this temptation. Well, you know what? He just needs to get a new job. Not an option. He was a slave. He was owned. He was doing his assigned responsibility. He didn't say, look, I can't sleep with you, but how about if we just have some meals together, okay? Could we maybe just do dinner? Would you be happy with that? You know what you need to do if someone is tempting you? You get as far away as you can. Joseph did, and that meant he only went into the house in order to carry out his responsibilities. But he did, day after day, have to go in the house. Verse 11, one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. We have a thing here called the rule of three. You familiar with that? Okay. We say we want to have somebody else with us as adults when we're spending time with the kids. Why is that? Well, we just can't trust ourselves. No, we don't want there to be any opportunity for even a false accusation. Because Joseph is about to experience what can happen if you're in a situation where it's your word against somebody else's. Joseph does the right thing, and then he's falsely accused. Because let me tell you something about immoral people. If they think it's okay to commit adultery, they'll probably think it's okay to lie. People who don't believe the truth don't mind lying. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know by what comes out from their life. You can't just go by what people say, because people who do bad things lie. Now, she tried day after day to seduce him. He refused day after day. But one day, verse 11, when he went into the house to do his work, none of the household servants were there, so she grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. This is the second time in Joseph's life that he has gotten in trouble related to what he wears. Remember when his brothers saw him from a great distance? He was wearing that fancy coat his dad had given him, and they said, "Look, that's that dreamer." They recognized his garment. This is the second time that Joseph, apparently working as a slave but in charge of the master's house, had saved up enough coin to get himself a nice coat, a nice garment. His outfit, even if he had to sew it himself, was something that was recognizable. Everybody knew, yeah, that's his. Whatever he was wearing, she grabbed hold of it, and the only way he could get away was to get out of it. So he slips out of his garment and runs out of the house. And now what is she going to do? Well, she's disappointed, she's frustrated, she's angry. Because she had set it up. She thought she finally had him. If he had to get out of his garment in order to get out of the house, you can bet that she wasn't tenderly trying to take advantage of him. She was trying to grab him by force, forcing herself on him, and he ran, which was the right thing to do. So what happens when you do the right thing? Well, obviously, Potiphar comes home and says, that horrible wife of mine needs to go to prison. No. She calls for the servants and says, look at what this guy tried to do. He tried to rape me. And then when her husband comes home, she's lying there on the bed with the robe next to her. It looks as if she has evidence against Joseph. Joseph did the right thing by running away. But I'll tell you something else. Joseph, being young and well-built, could have snapped her neck and kept his cloak and said to her husband, "I am so sorry your wife fell down the stairs. But that would be an immense sin, because he'd be lying and taking matters into his own hands. Don't think that doing wrong is justified if it's in order to try and resist a wrong. Is there ever a place for force? Yes, God commands it in the Old and New Testament. If you think we are all supposed to be always nonviolent pacifists, read Romans 13 again. But Joseph knew that was not his place. And although he had physical strength, he used it to get away rather than to injure her. Furthermore, Joseph had not reported her conduct to Potiphar. She'd been doing this day after day, but Joseph knew in this situation, that was not his job. He did his job. He did it well. He did it with the blessing of the Lord. And now when he's facing temptation and she won't let go of him, he just makes a run for it. When the husband learns the lie, he's angry. But it's very probable that he had some doubts about his wife's story. Because instead of killing Joseph, which would be the response of many husbands under the circumstances if they believed the wife, he puts Joseph in prison. And there in prison, the Lord is with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord made him successful in all that he did. But he was still a slave. And now he's a prisoner. God's still with him. God's still blessing him. And soon the warden decides, I'm going to give him some responsibility. And then he gets more responsibility until eventually he's running the prison. He's running the prison. He's a prisoner. But the warden says, this guy can do it better than I can. Now, God had ordained that Joseph would end up ruling Egypt. But what better training for being in government than to live in a prison surrounded by crooks? Got it? Yes, you heard me right. Joseph is right where God wants him to be. We look at it and we say, unfair. Well, welcome to life. I don't think he deserved that. No, he didn't, compared to other people. But on the other hand, if any of us got what we deserve, we would all be in hell. Was Joseph suffering this way because of the bad things he had done? No, he was suffering this way because of the good things he'd done. The reason he ended up where his brothers ambushed him was because he was obeying his father, going where he was sent, doing what he was told. The reason he ended up in prison was because he was doing his job, doing the right thing, refusing to sin. And he suffered for it. Pastor Wood, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that if we do the right thing, we may suffer for it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's still the right thing. That's still the right thing. Do what God says, no matter the cost. Remember Daniel's three friends? They did the right thing. And they ended up not just threatened with the fiery furnace, they ended up thrown into the fiery furnace. Man, I would have written that story differently. If I was one of them, I would have said, okay, God, this is the time. You know, right now they're tying us up. This hurts. But God had better things in mind. God has better things in mind for all of you who trust in Him. Whatever difficulties you go through, even if you suffer for doing what is right, God has a plan, and it is for your good and His glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.